We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kedushin daf Ayin Zayin. We begin at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, and the topic of our parak of Asar Yuchsin, continuing specifically on the theme of the previous Mishnah regarding Psuli Yichus as they apply to Kahuna. So the Mishnah begins, Bas Chalal Zachar, the daughter of a male Chalal. Now, a Chalal is someone that was the product of a forbidden relationship in Kahuna, as our Gemara actually would bring the source for that, that's what creates Chalalim. So the Mishnah specifically picks, as will be explained in this Mishnah itself, that only if the father is a chalal, will then the daughter have the following halachas. Because in contrast to the daughter of when the mother is a chalala, but the father is a Yisrael, then actually in contrast to this halacha, the daughter is going to be kasher to kohuna. Here where the father is a chalal, even if the mother is not a chalala, the halach is his daughter is psula min akuna lo'olam, his daughter is forbidden for kuna forever. What does it mean forever? In other words, no matter how far down it goes with the male chain, so let's say his son's daughter or his son's son's daughter, continuing throughout the halalam of a male, the son of a male, the last daughter is going to be pasul like the first daughter. Now that's in contrast to his daughter's daughter from Yisrael will be ksheira because that's not more stringent than the halacha when you have a bas chalal from a chalala where the halacha is that the daughter of a chalala from Yisrael, in other words, if that daughter then marries Yisrael, is going to be kasher to kuna, so bas bitoy is not going to be pasul to kuna. The daughter of a chal is going to be. And that halacha continues even for his son, who himself is a chal because his father was a chal, continuing, the daughter is going to be no matter how many times down it is in generational, that last daughter is going to be a halala. But again, that daughter's daughter is not going to be, because when that daughter marries Yisrael, that halacha is different, as our Mishnah explains. Yisrael shenasa halala, a Yisrael that marries a woman that's a halala, bitoy kisher lekohana. There the halacha is different, although by the father we say the daughter will always be a halala. But when the mother's a halala, when she's married to Yisrael, as the Gemara will explain the reason, then the daughter is actually kasher for kahuna, but that's specifically if the chalala marries Yisrael. But if a kohen marries a chalala, then the daughter is going to be a chalala, very simply because any child that's born from a forbidden union from a kohen to a psul, which the Torah says a kohen is not allowed to marry a chalala, the child is going to be a chalal. So again, a chalala married to Yisrael, the daughter is kasher to kahuna, whereas chalal shenasa bas Yisrael, but when a chalal marries even a regular bas Yisrael, then the daughter is going to be pasul to kuna. And the Gemara is going to ask, similarly, this is repeating exactly what the Mishnah opened up with, which is the flip side of the other halacha, where again, if the father is a chal, daughter is always going to be a chalala. If the mother is a chalala, then if she marries Yisrael, then the daughter is not going to be a chalala. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he says that bas ger zachar, that the daughter of a male ger, even if the wife is a regular full-fledged Yisraelis, he says, has the same halacha kebas chalal zachar, like the halacha we opened the Bar Mishnah with, where the daughter of a male chalal, that his daughter is pasul to kuna, so to the daughter of a bas ger zachar, is also going to be pasul to kuna. Now, however, that stands in contrast to the daughter of a geyeris from a Yisrael, is going to be kosher. Again, the same contrast that we have by the chalal, where it's only from the male that then the daughter is going to be pasul. So too, it says Rabbi Yehuda, is the same halacha regarding the halacha of gerim. Now, all the understanding of all these opinions, which now the Mishnah is going to quote a machlokes regarding what is the halachic status of children of gerim, the Gemara will explain. Where again, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that bas ger zachar is kebas chal zachar, whereas bas geyiris is not going to have halacha of a psul. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he says, Yisrael shenasa geyiris, regarding a regular Yisrael that marries a female convert, bitik sher lekuhuna, his daughter is going to be kasher to kuhuna, and the ger shenasa bas Yisrael, so too, in disputing of Rabbi Yehuda, when the ger marries a bas Yisrael, bitik sher lekuhuna, his daughter is also going to be kasher to kuhuna. Now, what he does hold is avol ger shenasa geyiris, but when a male convert marries a female convert, then bitik psul lekuhuna, then his daughter is going to be pasul to kuhuna. And the reason being is because you need to have from zera bas Yisrael, as the Gemara is going to explain. And here, where you don't have any Zera Beis Yisrael, because both of them are born non-Jews, they just both converted, then the daughter is going to be pasul to kuna. Now that halacha applies, says the Mishnah, Echad Ger ve'Echad Avad Mishachram, whether it's from converts or whether it's from emancipated slaves, which also have the same halachic status as converts, Afila ad yud dairis, even going as far as 10 generations, meaning it continues going, achatei imay miyisrael, until at least his mother is going to be Jewish. In other words, if both of them are from Kamaritz, no matter how far down it goes, then the halacha will be that this daughter is not going to be kosher to kun. You have to have at least somewhere that at least the mother is going to be from Jewish people, then that will change for the daughter, then she'll be kosher to kun. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, he's a third opinion. He says, no, afgeishu nasigiyaris, even a male convert who marries a female convert, bitek sher lekahuna, the daughter is kosher, she's a regular bas Yisrael, and she'll be kosher to kahuna. So now the Gemara goes back to explain our Mishnah. The Mishnah opened up by saying that bas chol zachar, the daughter of a male chol, will be pasul to kahuna l'olam. So the Gemara says, my l'olam, what is this terminology of saying forever? Obviously, if the son of a chol and the son of him and the son of him, they're all considered halalim, so then just say bas chol zachar to me pasul to kahuna. We'll know that's going to be l'olam. Why say the word l'olam? So the Gemara says, because Ma'adutema, we would have thought to say, Midid have a mitzvah Adoimi. That actually will have the same halachic status like a convert from the Egyptians or from the Edoim people. Where Ma'alahalan la'achar shalosh dor is just like over there, that after three generations, there is no problem about marrying into the Kehillah. Afkan nami la'achar shalosh dor. Here also we would think that it only would apply that the child and the child, the son after the son, would be considered halalim only up until three generations. But after that, then they would lose their status of halal and be permitted to marry for kuhuna. That's the chiddush that we're saying, no, that the daughter of a male chal who has ben achar ben, going back to the original chal, will always be considered a halala, even past three generations. Now the Mishnah then said, this contrast depending which parent is the chal, if it's the father or the mother. So the Mishnah said, Yisrael shenasa halala, but if a Yisrael male marries a halala female, then the Mishnah said the daughter is going to be kosher for the kuhuna. So the Gemara says, Menon, immediately, where do we know this from? That if the father is a chal, the daughter is always going to be a chalala. Whereas if the mother is a chalala and she's married to a Yisrael, then the daughter is going to be kosher for the kuhuna. So Amr B'yichad, Mishrim, he says, because Nemar Khan, it says over here in the Pasuk of a Yikra, it says, V'loy chal zar ba'amav. It says regarding the Kohen Gadol, if he has an inappropriate marriage, meaning one of the psuli kuhuna. So there's a problem that he shouldn't desecrate his children amongst his people. Now, use the terminology ba'amav. V'nem lahal, it says over there a previous pasuk, it says, le'itame bal ba'amav, that the husband, the kohen, shouldn't defile himself amongst his people, which regarding the halachas of tumah, that they're not allowed to just be metame to anybody. So it also uses the terminology ba'amav there too. So malahal, just like over there, regarding the halachas of tumah, the second pasuk that we quoted, it's zacharim, it's only the males that are warned regarding the halachas of tumah, v'loy nekevers, and not the females. Because the pasuk there says bnei aron, which the gemara elsewhere makes the drasha, v'loy bnei aron, the females of the kahal don't have the same halachas of tumah as the males do. So afkan, so also over here, this first pasuk that we're bringing about b'loy chal zare regarding the psuli chalolis, it also used the terminology ba'amav to tell you zacharim, it's only the males that become pasul, v'loy nekevis, and not the females. And that's how we know that therefore the daughter of the chalala will be kasher, whereas the daughter of the male will be pasul. Not the Gemara, but El Mi'ata, but if that's the drasha, if that's the source, then even Bitish Kayan Gadol, then even the daughter, which is an example being used, because that's the pasuk that V'loy Chalzar Ba'amav is going on, when the Kayan Gadol marries the Almana, so then even the daughter of a Kayan Gadol with an Almana, Tishteri, that daughter should be permitted, she should not be considered a Chalala, because you said, Nekevus Amutaris, the females, you learned out from this Gzer Shav Ba'amav, that the psul of halalas doesn't apply to females. So why is there even a halach of halala in the first place? There should only be halalim only regarding males. So the Gemara says, no, miksev benoy, does the pasuk say that v'loy chal benoy ba'amav? Zariksev. It says his children, which connotes even females, any child, loy chal zar ba'amav. He shouldn't desecrate his children amongst his people. So rather what you have to say is that obviously the Gzeir Shava Be'amav is not coming to say his own daughter, because that's included in his own children. It must mean his daughter's daughter. When his daughter, the Chalala, marries Yisrael, that daughter is a female. She's going to be excluded from this halacha of Be'amav, and she's not going to be a Chalala. She'll be kosher for Kohuna. Now, but the Gemara continues asking, Bas Benoy, but the daughter of his son, who is a Chol, Tishtri, she should also be permitted based on this Gzeir Shava. Because the only thing that you see from the pasuk of V'loy chal zar ba'amav is his own children. So really, we said from the Gzeir Shav, it should exclude Nekevers. But you said it can't, because the daughter of the Kohen Gadol is included in Zari. Fine, his own children. But Zera Zaroi, but his grandchildren, let's say his daughter's daughter, his son's daughter, should be kosher because she's in the keva, as we learn from the Gezer Shava. So why do we say in the Mishnah that Bas Chol Zachar is going to be psula to Kohuna if that's not Zaroi and she's a female? It's only Zera Zaroi, it's his grandchild. So why is she psula to Kohuna? So that the Gemara says, Ksiv Leichal Zaroi. The Pasuk says that he shouldn't desecrate the Kohen Gadol if he's going to marry an Almana, to desecrate his children. Now, when it says his children, there's two people being mentioned over there. There's the father and the child that's being mentioned in the same word, which is a hekesh, comparing makizare loy, it's equating his children to him. To tell you, mahu bitoy psula, just like him, the Kohen Gadol, when he's married to Almana, his own daughter is going to be possible, will be a chalala. Av benoy, so to his son, who's being compared to him with Zaroi, his child, is also bita psula, will also have that his daughter will be possible. No. But then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then bas bitoy, then his daughter's daughter, meaning his daughter, who is a chalala, the daughter that she has from the Yisrael, should also be titzer, should also then become forbidden based on this hekesh, because his daughter is Zaroi, and his daughter is forbidden. So too we should say that just like it compares the child to the parent, just like the parent, this Kohen Gadol, will make his daughter halala, so to the daughter, who's Zaroi, should also make her daughter into a halala. So why does the Mishnah say that she's Kesher Lekohuna? Now the Gemara answers, Im Kain, if that would be the case, then Gzeir Shava, Maya Hanali, then what would we learn from the Gzeir Shava of Be'amav, which tells us that the halacha of halalim only applies to Zacharim, not to Nekevis, if you're going to end up, if you will interpret Zaroi to say that applies even to Nekevis, you would have no halacha to say that it's only by Zacharim and not Nekevis. So rather, that's the way we have to come out to say that, of course, the daughter of the Aman L'Kohen Gadol is going to be her Sava Halala, because she's included in Zaroi. And moreover, the daughter of the son, we learn that from the Hekesh of Zaroi, comparing the Zera to the father, but you can't say that would include the daughter's daughter too, because that you have to explain something of the Gzer Shava Ba'amav, which tells you that it only applies to Zacharim, not to Nekevis, would apply not to the daughter herself of the Amal Kohen Gadol, but the daughter of the daughter. She will not have this halacha of Chalala, she will be kosher to Kohuna. Then the Mishnah said, however, the opposite way, Chalal Shanasa Bas Yisrael, when the Chalal marries a Jewish woman that's not a halala, bitay psula, then his daughter is going to be pasul to kohuna, because she'll be a halala. Now the Gemara asks, as we mentioned in our Mishnah, hatonalei reisha, but that it's already the halacha that the Mishnah opened up with. It said, bas chal zachar, the daughter of a male chal, psula min akunla oilam, will always be pasul, no matter how far down, ben achar ben, son after son, that one who has a daughter is going to be a halala. So the Gemara says, you're right, I did tana reisha, Yisrael shenasa halala, it's just because the Mishnah wanted to say the halacha of when the Yisrael marries a halala, that then his bita is ksher l'kuna. So tana nama seif a chal shenasa bas Yisrael, so therefore it just said the flip side of saying, but when a chal marries a bas Yisrael, that then the daughter will be pasul l'kuna. But you're right, we already said the halacha in the opening of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara qualifies our Mishnah by saying, masnitin de loikrib destoy ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah is obviously not like Reb Destoy ben Yehuda. The time like Linda Brysa. Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, I mean, he says, Kishem shebnei Yisrael, mikveh tar l'chalalis, just like a Jewish man is a purifying mikveh for a woman that's a halala, because as we just previously explained through the drashas, that the daughter of a halala who is married to Yisrael will be kasher to kohuna. So essentially her husband, who is Yisrael and not a halal himself, is like a mikveh purifying his wife's tainted lineage of being halala. Says Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, the same thing works the other way too. Not like the town of Amishnah. Kach b'nois Yisrael mikveh tar l'chalalim. So that actually the same thing is that a Jewish woman married to a chalal will also be a purifying mikveh for her husband who's a chalal to purify his daughter to be kasher to kohuna. Which, not like our Mishnah, which said that a bas chalal zachar is psul l'kohuna. So the Gemara asks, my time at Reb Destoy ben Yehuda, what's the reason for his opinion? Because on my Makra, the Pasuk says in my Yikra, it says, which recorded before, Leichal Zar Ba'amav. He shouldn't desecrate his children amongst his people. Now, for the fact that it doesn't say Ba'amimav, so it sounds like that his children will only desecrate their daughter only if it's Ba'am Echad Hodemechel, only if him and his wife are from one people, meaning they're the same type, meaning they're both Chalalim. Bishnei Amim and Enamechel. But if they're from two different types, meaning if the husband or the wife is only one of them is a chal or chalala, but the other one is not, then his grandchild, the Kohen Gadol, married l'almana, meaning his son or his daughter's daughter will be kosher to kahuna either way, unless both of them are halalim. Continuing on this halach about halalim, the Gemara brings a brayse. Tana Rabban says in the pasuk that we quoted, lo yichal zari, shouldn't desecrate his children. Says the brayse, inli elazari, I would only know that the halach of creating them into halalim when he has a bia psula for kahuna, that it only applies to his children. He atzma minayin. How do we know that the widow herself, with the bia that she has with the kohen gadol, she becomes a halala, which now disqualifies her from truma and from kahuna, and if let's say a kohen hedjit now goes and has bia with her afterwards, she's considered a halala, that which is forbidden to a kohen hedjit to get married to, he'll get lashes for her. How do we know that? Says the brayse, amar kal v'chaymer, you would say a kal v'chaymer, where mazarei shelo avaver mischalal, if, which is the kal, which is the more lenient halacha, the more stringent halacha, which is the chaymer of the kal v'chaymer, for sure is going to have this halacha, where his children who didn't do any sin, they're just a product of their union, and they become halalim. So he shavra aver. So the woman herself, who she's committing a sin, because as the pasuk says lo yikachu, which as the Gemara Maseches Yevamah Stav Pidalim Abayis explains, that it's to warn the woman regarding this man. It's not just he who is doing the sin marrying the amana. The amana herself also has the sin in marrying the kohen gadol. In a din shem is halala, so isn't it a kal v'chaymer that she should become a halala? If her children from this union become halala when they didn't do a sin, for sure her, who she's committing a sin, becomes halala when she has this cohabitation with her husband, the kohen gadol. Now the Gemara, however, asked, but who atzma yichich? The kohen gadol himself could disprove the logic of this kal v'chaymer. Because she'ava ve'ra ve'ein mischalal, he commits a sin too. He's not allowed to marry almana, and he does not become a halal. Because as the pasuk says, lo yichal zara, it says that he shouldn't desecrate his children, which, as the Mishnah explains in Masechtas Becheiros, that if someone marries a woman in sin, the kohen is forbidden to do the avod until he makes a nedur that he's going to forbid any pleasure from this woman. And when he does that, makes that nedur, he's permitted to go ahead and do the avod, even though he has committed this sin, because he himself does not become a chol. So you see that because of doing the sin doesn't mean that a kal v'chaymer that you become a chol, as we see by the husband. And that the Gemara says, no, that's not a refutation of the kal v'chaymer. Because malahu, because regarding the husband, shekein ein mischal b'chal makim, he never becomes a chal in any situation regarding a biya asura, even if he had biya with a maidservant or with a zayna. So, yeah, it makes sense that he doesn't become a chal. Taima bihi, but in contrast to the woman, she mischalelis b'chal makim. We know that throughout the halacha tells us that if, let's say, a kuti or a chal or a nosn or mamzer has to be with her, that invalidates her from kuhuna, as the Gemara said previously, enough ayin daldam adbeis, which the Gemara says, Yivamas taf samaches manalaf learns out from the pasuk that says, Uvas kayin, a daughter of a kayin, kisila ishzarev, she'll be engaged to a foreign man, which tells us that once she has bia to a pasul, she becomes pasul. Now, so therefore, the Gemara is answering that the kal v'chaymer does stand, because since she becomes pasul generally with a bia asura, so here also, when regarding to her marriage as a widow to the kohen gadol, she would become pasul through a bia. Therefore, the kal v'chaymer would tell us that if the children are becoming halalim, for sure har, but the husband who never becomes pasul through a bia, yes, he's not going to become a chal here either through the bia with the widow. So therefore, that's a kal v'chaymer that she becomes a halal. Now, the brayse continues and says, v'im nafshach lem, but if you want to say, in other words, if you have any responses that would refute the kal v'chaymer, and therefore you would want to say that the wife actually would be k'sher to kahuna, so therefore, amakra, I could bring you a specific, explicit pasuk from the Torah that she becomes a halal. Because it says, lo yichal zaray. It says that he shouldn't desecrate his children. Now, the primary chil that the pasuk here is talking about, says the brayse, is actually referring to the woman herself. It means lo yechulol, that she should not become a halala. Why? How do we know that? That's referring to her. It says zarei, because it means zeshah yekasher v'neschal. It means someone that was kasher at one point that then became a halala. But his children, from their inception, were pasul, and therefore doesn't really apply the terminology of halala. Chilul is taking something sanctified and desecrating it. But by the children, they were never sanctified to be desecrated. They were born in the status of halala. So therefore, actually, the primary pasuk's terminology of chilul tells us that the woman herself becomes a halala. Now, the Gemara asks on the brayse, "Mayim nafshach leimer?" What would have been our question as a refutation of the kal v'chaymer that we had to bring an explicit pasuk that tells us that she becomes a halala? So that the Gemara explains what the question could be on the kal v'chaymer is that v'chitem, if you're going to say that actually from the source of the kal v'chaymer that you're bringing, the woman to be a halala from her children, who you said that they didn't do an aver and then became a halal, so for sure the mother who did a sin in this act becomes a halala. And that the Gemara says, Ikla Mifrach. You could refute that Kavachem. You could ask, because Malazare, because, yeah, although we find by the children, Shekin Yitzirosa Ba'Avera, because their inception was in through sin. So therefore, they could become, their definition could become Chalolim, because that's how they were born. In contrast to the woman, yes, she's committing a sin, but just to change definition from a kshera to a psula, who said that it's something that can happen to her? And that's why, amakra lo yichal, that's where I have to bring the pasig that says lo yichul, that you should not become desecrated. Zeshayu kashav neschal, it's a reference to someone that was kashav and became a chalala. Again, a reference to the woman, in contrast to the children who are born as chalalam. That's the source for how we know that the woman herself becomes a chalala through the bia psula. Continuing on this theme, turn up on the window, Braisa. Izehi chalala. What is considered a chalala? Says the Braisa, and the Gemara is going to try to explain what these words mean. Kol shenoydim in apsulam. Whoever is born from a puzzle, from an invalid woman that's being married to this man, the child from that union is going to be a chalala. Now the Gemara asks, my psulam, what does it mean, someone that's puzzle? Elam apsulam lo, if you're going to read it as the simple translation would sound like, that whoever is postal to the husband, which sounds like any husband, even if he's a Yisrael, if the bia that he's having with his wife is with sin, as long as it's not that of Mamzeris, because of Mamzeris, then the child's a Mamzer. You don't have to say that he's a chal postal for kohen, he's postal to marrying to the Jewish people at all. But as long as it's not something like Mamzeris, so then the child's going to be a chal. But that the Gemara asks, Bahari Machzigurishasa, but you have the halacha of when someone remarries the woman that he divorced after she had already married someone else, where the halacha is the psulalai. She's pasuled him. He's forbidden to remarry his ex-wife if she had already married someone else, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chavdala, lo yuchal bai la harishon. The first husband, once she married someone else in the interim, cannot remarry her. And yet, ubanak sherim, the children that he has from her, in other words, his daughter, is going to be kashrut kohuna if the father is a Yisrael. Like it says in the pasuk in Devarim, it says, to'evahi. She's an abomination, meaning for having remarried the husband that she was first married to after she had already married someone else, which tells us he toyeva, that she is abominable. In other words, that she's going to be punished for this sin. Ve'in b'nei toyevim, but her children will not be punished in this sin, meaning that they will not be considered psulim because of this union. So you see that you can have a child that's born from the psulim and does not become a chalala. So Rav Amar Yehudi says nohachi kama. This is what the Brice is saying. Ezi chalala, what will consider a woman a chalala? It's called shenoldim in psul kohuna. It's whoever is born from a psul of kohuna, where the kayin was forbidden to marry this woman, then the daughter is going to be a chalala. Now, the Gemara asks on that too. It sounds like from the Brice's characterization of a chalala, that nolde in loy no loy, only if she's born from a forbidden union, but if she wasn't born, then not. But as the Gemara, hari almana, you have a widow if she's married to Kohen Gadol. Or Grusha, a divorcee, if she's married to Kohen Hedyot, who she becomes a chalala through the bia with him. So to a zayna, a woman that had bia with someone that's pasul to her, where, again, as Rashi qualifies, the bia with a Kohen Hedyot, could, if that's pasul, can create a woman into a chalala, where then there'll be lashes regarding chalala. Because any issur kohuna, as the Gemara explains, is what creates a chalala from that bia. In contrast to a zayna is, if it has bia with any psul, let's say a relative of hers or a mamzer, where deloy nolda, where that type of a woman, the amana, to a kangala, grusha, to a kanhedya, designed it to anyone that's pasul, where she wasn't born from a inappropriate marriage, her parents were kosher people, and yet v'kavi chalala, she becomes a chalala just by having a bia psula. So how are you saying chalala is only someone that's born from a forbidden union? So now the Rabbi says, nohachikam, this is what the Brice was saying. Eza chalala muskeris. What is the halal that's mentioned, which Gemara is going to explain, what is it mentioned weird that we're referencing, but which is the halal that's mentioned, that never had a moment in her life that she was kosher for kahuna, and that's her status of halala, is called shenoda min psul kahuna. If she was born from a psul of kahuna, then she's born into the status of halala. That's the one that we're explaining will be a halala. Yeah, of course you can have a halala, let's say, from bia psula, but what's the one that's born like that? That's if she's born from a psul of kahuna. So the Gemara is my muskeris. What if that's the explanation of the Brice, so what does it mean that the one that was mentioned? So Amrav Yitzhak Bar Avin, he says, Hachikam, this is what the Brice is saying. Ezahi halala, what is the halala that's mentioned in the Torah? She'ikra midivri Torah, that its primacy is understood from the pasuk itself that says chalala lo yikocha, that they shouldn't marry chalala, and that is, what does that mean? Of course, everything has to be mentioned in the Torah, but it means to say ve'in tzrichin lefarish midivri seifrim, that we don't have to explain it with rabbinic law because it's explicitly mentioned in the Torah. What is that? That's kasha nerdam in psule kuhuna. That's whenever it's born from a psul of kuhuna. In other words, when it says in the Torah chalal, that's generally a child that's born from a psul to kuhuna, because that's what the pasuk really says. If you read the pasuk, it says v'loy chal zar, he shouldn't desecrate his children. So that's the chalala that's mentioned explicitly hamuskeres b'tayra, that's born from a psul of kuhuna. In contrast to chalala, that she becomes a chalala through her bia, that is, as we mentioned in the previous gemara, we have to expound it from psukim to say that, for example, when that's chalala because it's chalula, because she was kashera and then she became a chalala. Since that's not explicit in the Torah, that's not what the Brisa was referencing. The Brisa says, what's the one that's explicitly in the Torah? That's the daughter that's born from psulei kuhuna. Continuing on these halachas, the Gemara says, Tana Rabban Uin LaBrisa. Almana, almana, almana. If someone has a bia with an almana, with a widow, they have three names of almanas, meaning a kohen gadol. So it says the Brisa, in the chayav al-achas, so he's only going to be liable for one iser, which the Gemara is going to explain this. Grusha, 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 let's say it's a kohen hedyot, regarding the woman that's divorcee, divorcee, divorcee. Again, in a chayav al-achas is only going to be liable for one iser of a kohen hedyot marrying a grusha. Now, however, as the Gemara says, quoting a pasuk in Yikra, almana, a widow, v'grusha, divorcee, v'chalala, a woman that's a chalala, and a zayna, so bizman shehim kiseder, if it's in exactly this order, in other words, this woman had first become a widow, then she married a second person and got divorced from him. Then she married a kohen and became a chalala because a kohen's not allowed to marry a grusha. And then she had bi with one of the people that apostled to her or a relative, which that's a bi of znus, and then that makes her into a zayna, so, which is one of the psulei kuhuna. So you have, and again, as we explained, because a woman becomes a chalala only if she has a bi with a psula of kuhuna, and that doesn't make her into a zayna. Whereas other Isurim make her into a Zayna and don't make her into Chalala, as the Gemara will later on explain that. Where Chalalas is only from Psulei Kuhuna, whereas a Zayna is from other Isurim. So says the Braisa, if it's in this order, Chayva kol achas v'achas, then he's going to be liable for every single one of them, the Kohen Gadol, for even though it's one woman, for violating the Isra of Almana, Grusha, Chalala, and Zayna. Now, however, if it's the other way around, if let's say first Zinsa, first this woman was Mazana with one of her relatives or from a Mamza, which that will make her into a Zayna, which is one of the Psulim that are Arayas for her. Then Veneschala, then she became a Chalala because then a Kohen had Bi with her, which again it's forbidden for a Kohen to have Bi with a Zayna, so then that makes her into a Chalala. Now, then Veneschala, then she got divorced. And then Veneschala, then she became a widow, meaning she then married someone else and became a widow. Says the Braisa, then in the Chayav al-Achas, then the Kohen Gadol that has to be with this woman is only going to be liable for one. And the Gemara will explain the reason for this. Now the Gemara goes to explain the Braisa in order. Amamar, the Tana of the Braisa said, Almana, 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 if he had Bia with this Kohen Gadol with a widow, a widow, a widow, in the Chayav al-Achas is only going to be liable for one Isra of a Kohen Gadol to an Almana. So the Gemara says, Hayamana Hechadami, what is this case of the Kohen Gadol having Bia with a widow? If, as it sounds like from the Braisa, that he had bia with three different women. First he had bia with the widow of Reuben, the widow of Shimon, va'almanas Levi with the widow of Levi. So why is the Braisa saying that he's only going to be liable for one, as we continue on Tamid Beis, but hare gufin mechulakim, hare shimas mechulakim. But they're different bodies, in other words, they were different objects of Isurim, each one was a separate woman, and each one had a separate Isur of Almana, because when you have a different person, each one is a separate widow. So why is the only chayav one? Ella Shabal Almana Acha Shalish Bias. Rather, what's it talking about? That he had Bia three times with one widow. So it was the same widow, but he had Bia three times. So the Gemara says, what's the case talking about? Idalei Asr Bay, if he wasn't warned more than one time, and then he was warned one time and he had Bia again. Well, Pshita Dein Chayav al-Achas, and it's obviously only going to be liable one time because he was only warned one time. Now, Ela de Asr Bay Akol Chad B'Chadis, so what are you going to say? That no, he was warned every single time, you're a kind gadol, you can't have Bia with a widow. He did it, and again, he's going to do Bia again with the same woman, and they said, you can't. And that the Gemara asked, then why is he only liable one? But what's not, learn the Mishnah that's brought both Masechtas Nazir and Masechtas Makkos that tells us as follows. Nazir shall yeshesa yain kol yom kulay. A Nazir who takes a vow to abstain from wine is forbidden from wine. And so it says, regarding a Nazir that was drinking wine the whole entire day, says the Mishnah, in a chayav al-achas, he's only going to be liable for one. Now, as Rashi points out, when it says chayav over here, it means regarding Malkus. He's only going to be liable for one set of lashes. Now, but amruloi al-tishta, v'hu shaysa. Now, but if they continuously warn him, don't drink, and he drinks. They warn him, don't drink, and he drinks. Chayav al-kol achas va'achas. He's liable for every single one. So although it's the same bottle of wine with the same nazir, but each act of drinking, if you get a separate warning, is considered a separate iser. So then here, even though it's the same kohen gadol with the same widow, but every single time he gets warned, should be a separate iser. So why is he only liable for one iser of almana and not on all three bias? So I think Gemara says, lo yitzricha. No. The case is talking about where he actually had one bia. Sheba'a almanas Reuven. He had bia with this woman who was the widow of Reuven. Shahis almanas Shimon, she was also once married to Shimon and was widowed from him. Shahis almanas Levi, and she was also once married to Levi and widowed from him. Now, so he's having one act of bia with this one woman, but she was widowed three times. Now, you might say, but there are three different acts of widowhood that happened to her. So there are three different types of Isurim over here. You would think that even though he's doing one act of B, it's like eating something that has three Isurim inside of it. That's the Chiddush of the Brayis, that Gufa Mochlakim Be'inan Veleka, that you need to have separate bodies, not just separate names. Yes, it's the widow of Reuben and of Shimon and of Levi, but to be violating the Isur Amana three times would have to be three separate women, or at least three different separate warnings regarding here, since there was only one bia, although there was three different names, but since it's one body, it's only going to be liable for one iser of amana. And obviously the same thing would apply to that next halach in the Braisa regarding grusha, grusha, grusha. Now, then the Braisa said, amana u grusha v'chalala zayna, which is a pasuk. But the Braisa said that if the woman was in this order, she was first a widow, then a divorcee, then a chalala, then a zayna, then the kohen gadol has bia with her, is going to be chayv al kol achas v'achas, going to be liable for four separate yisurim with this one act of bia with this one woman. The Gemara wonders, hai tana mai kesaba. What does this tana hold? And that it's I kesaba issachal alissa, if he holds of the halachic concept that an isur could take effect on something that's already usur. Meaning, let's say something's usur for one reason. Then something happens to it, which then another isur applies to it. And then, so that other isur could take effect, now you have two yisurim in this one object. If that's what the Tana of our Mishnah, the Braisa seemingly holds, well then Ibchanami, then the same thing should be in the reverse. Why did the Tana of Braisa say that if she's first designed, then the Chalal, then the Gush and Almana, that then you're only going to be liable for one? Why not? Why not say that the other Yisroel will take effect on it? And the Iksav, and if the Tana of the Braisa holds Einis Achalalis, so that an Isser cannot take effect on something that's already Usser, well then I feel like you say there's a Namile, then even in this order also of Almana, Gush, Chalal, Zayna, should also not take effect. Why you chayef for four Yisroel and not just one? So Rabbi explains, he says, Hai Tana, Issa Chalal Issa Lesla. You're right, the Tana of this Braisa does not hold that if something's forbidden, that another Issa could take effect. And that's why if you do the opposite order, it's only going to be liable for one Issa, which the first one would be Zaina and not the other ones. But Issa Maisif, but for having an additional, more expansive Issa, which is adding on something to it, for that to take effect, which was not yet forbidden because of the first Isser. In other words, it's going to make forbidden something that was still permitted with the first Isser that was on it, that Isle. That the Tana of the Braisa holds that could take effect, even though it was forbidden at least for this person because of the first Isser, but since for someone else or for something else, an additional thing is becoming prohibited now with the second Isser, that will make the first person that was already Usser for two Isserim. So therefore, when it's in this order, as the Gemara is going to explain, each additional component is adding on something else that was still permitted up until now. And since something is being added on, it will add on even for someone that was already forbidden to create more Isurim in the same thing. As the Gemara explains, Amana Asur L'Kohen Gadol. When she first becomes widowed, so a widow is forbidden to a Kohen Gadol, but Vishar L'Kohen Hedyot, a widow is permitted to Kohen Hedyot. Now, Havi La Grusha, when she then becomes a divorcee, so we say Migu di Itaisav La, since it's now being added onto her because of her name of Grusha, Isur Lagabi Kohen Hedyot, that now she's forbidden to Kohen Hedyot, who up until now was permitted to her. So that's called the Isur Maisav. Something more is being added onto the same woman. So Itaisav La Isur, so too she's adding on the Isur of Grusha, Lagabi Kohen Gadol, regarding the Kohen Gadol, who, although was already forbidden to her because of her widowhood, now he's going to be liable for two things, both of Isra Amana and of Isra Grusha. Now, continues the Gemara, Bavadayin Shari Lamecha Betruma. But this woman, if let's say she's a daughter of a Kohen, although she's an Amana and she's a Grusha, but she's still permitted to consume Truma. Now, but Havi Lo Chalala, when she then, let's say, marries a Kohen Hedyot, and then becomes a Chalala, because she was a Grusha and forbidden to the Kohen Hedyot, now she becomes a Chalala, now we say, Migu Di'i Toysi Visura. Now, since an additional Isra is being added onto her, that is because of her status of Chalala, she becomes forbidden Lamecha Betruma to partake from Truma, whereas as the Gemara learns, we learn that from Lo Yechalal, which says that she becomes Nischala from her Kedusha too, because it doesn't say Lo Yochel, it says that not only there's the child, but she also becomes a Chalala. So, and that makes her forbidden to Truma. So, Itaisa Visur Lagami Kohen Gadol. So, therefore, now the Kohen Gadol gets three Isurim. Not just of Amana and not just of Grusha, but now he's going to get lashes for this woman because of Chalala, because something was being added on. Now, but the Gemara wonders, but Elazayna my Issa Maisa Vispa, but what is being added on that wasn't Asa up until now with this woman when she now gets the status of a Zayna? What more is being added on that you're saying that now we could even add on Zayna for the fourth Issa on the Kohen Gadol? So Amrav Chanan Rav Katini says, Hail V'shem Znus Paisel B'Yisrael. Since at least the term Zayna could make a woman forbidden even amongst Yisraelim, not just Kahanim. Now, that would be in a specific case. For example, if let's say a woman is a married woman and she's Mezana Tachas Baila, so she then becomes forbidden as an Ashes Ish who is Mezana to her husband. So therefore here also, although you're right, the case that we're discussing over here is not a woman that was Mezana when she was married, but since the title of Znus, we find that it adds on more Isser than what was Asr up until now as a Amon, a Grusha, and a Chalala. So therefore, here where she's Mezana, we'll still call that an Isser Maisiv, which will add on another Isser, and that is, therefore, the Kohen Gadol could have with one woman, with one act of Bia, violating in that same act the Isser Amona, Grusha, Chalala, and Zayna. Now, continuing on a related vein, the Gemara says that Tani Tanik HaMedra of Sheshes, there was someone who was said over a brisa in front of Rav Sheshes that kol shehu b'yikach, anyone that applies to the halacha of yikach, which is a reference to the pasuk of who isha b'psuleh yikach. The pasuk tells us that Kohen Gadol is supposed to marry only a virgin. So says this one who's teaching over the brisa in front of Rav Sheshes, he said that near that pasuk of v'hu isha b'psuleh yikach, it says amana ugrusha v'chalala zayna liyikach, that what a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry is a widow, a divorcee, a chalala, and a zayna. So what the Brice is saying is that whichever woman you say applies to the mitzvah of Besula Yikach, which means to say that she's fit to marry a Kohen Gadol as a virgin, that type of a woman is Harehu Bula Yikach. She is in the negative prohibition of if she becomes a widow and she's not a Besula anymore, that has a negative prohibition of not to take. But Kol She'ena B'Yikach, any woman that was never appropriate, even as a Besula, to marry a Kohen Gadol, Eina B'lo Yikach is not going to be, if she is a widow, in the violation of the Isser of Amon L'Kohen Gadol. So what's that coming to exclude? Says the Brisa, Prat L'Kohen Gadol Shabbat L'Chayse Almona. It excludes if a Kohen Gadol has Bia with his sister that's a widow, where there, the halach is, he's not going to get lashes for the Isser of Kohuna of marrying an, of having Bia with Almona. Obviously, he'll have the Isser of having Bia with his sister, which is an Isser of Karis, but he's not going to have the Isser of Almana, where although his sister is an Almana, however, and this is related to the previous Gemara's discussion about Isser Maisav, the added on Isurim, as we'll see in the Gemara's discussion, but you're not going to have the Isser of Almana because since she was never appropriate for her brother to marry in the first place, so it's not going to be the Isser of Almana. Now the Gemara continues with a related discussion to these two points, both of regarding the Isser Chalal Isser discussion, regarding do we say that one Isser could then add on to another one, and moreover, related to this specific context of the halacha of an almana being forbidden to a Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara says, Tani Tana Kamed Rav Sheshes. There was an Amoyer that was teaching a Braisa and saying it over in front of Rav Sheshes. And he said as follows, the Braisa says, Kol Shehu B'Yikach. Any woman that applies to the pasuk of Hu Isha B'Psuleh Yikach, which is the positive commandment that a Kohen Gadol is only supposed to marry a Besula, a virgin. Now, near that pasuk it says, Amana Ugusha Vahalala Zaina Liyikach. It says that a Kohen Gadol has a negative prohibition, is not allowed to marry a widow, a divorcee, a Chalala, or a Zaina. So says the Braisa, the Smichas HaPsukim, the proximity of them is coming to tell you this halacha, that any woman that applies to the positive commandment that the Kohen Gadol could take her as a virgin, as a Besula, as a wife, mean to say that she's fit for a Kohen Gadol? Harehu b'lo yikach. That's a type of a woman that, when she becomes a widow, will then be in the negative prohibition of being taken as a widow. But the inference is, kasha eini b'yikach, any woman that, even as a besula, would not be appropriate for the Kohen Gadol, then eini b'lo yikach, then as a widow, she will not be, the Kohen Gadol would not violate the isra of Amal Kohen Gadol in regards to such a type of a woman. This explains the Braisa what case is being excluded. Prat l'Kohen Gadol shebo alachis almana. This comes to exclude a Kohen Gadol that cohabits with his sister that's a widow, where he's not going to get lashes for having be with his sister, although she's a widow, but then that's forbidden for a Kohen, that he will not be violating, because she was never appropriate to him in as a basuli either before she got married, before she was widowed. So rather, the only issur he's going to get a punishment for is the issur of having relations with one sister, but for the issur of Amana, he won't have that issur, because again, she doesn't fit into kiyikach, to be taken as a wife when she is a basula, so when she's a widow, you know, he's not going to have the negative prohibition either. Now, Amar Leis, Rav Sheshet said to this person who was teaching the Braisa, says, the Amar Lachmani, who's telling you this? In other words, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Must be Rav Shimoni. Because the Amar, he says, Ein Issa Chalalissa, he holds that once something is forbidden, another Issa cannot take effect on that Issa. The Tana, like, we'll learn Braisa. He says, if someone's eating a dead animal carcass, meaning wasn't properly slaughtered on Yom Kippur, he's potter, he's exempt from the punishment of karis for eating on Yom Kippur. Why? Because the issur of eating Yom Kippur will not take effect on this dead animal carcass, which was already forbidden before Yom Kippur as a nevela. Whereas Rashi explains, either way, if it became a nevela before Yom Kippur, so it already had the issur nevela coming into Yom Kippur, and even if it became nevela on Yom Kippur, still this piece of meat was already forbidden from before Yom Kippur because of Eivir Menachai, when it was alive. Only slaughtering permits it. So either way you look at it, this piece of meat was forbidden before Yom Kippur. Therefore, if you're eating a non-properly slaughtered piece of meat Yom Kippur, where it already has an issur before Yom Kippur, you'll be exempt from the issur of karis of eating on Yom Kippur. You'll get only punished for eating the nevela. So you see that Reb Shimon holds that ein issa chalal issa. Another issa of Yom Kippur cannot take effect on this piece of meat which is really forbidden as nevela. Now says Rav Papa, you have to, or says Rav Sheshes, that you have to say that that's who the Brice is like. Because the Irabana, because if the time of the Brice is like Rabbana on ha'amri issa chalal issa, they say that an issa takes effect on another issa. So why would you say that his sister who's a widow would not be forbidden in Amana li'ikach, but why? Yes, she's already forbidden as your sister, but the Isra of Amana should take effect on that too, and you should be violating and get lashes for the Isra of Amana too. So on that, the Gemara says, no, Afilatim Rabban, you could say that the time the Brisa is like Rabbanan. Kiyam Rabbanan Isra Chalal Isra, when did Rabbanan say that an Isra takes effect on another Isra? Hanamili Isra Chamra Isra Kal. That's when you have it was originally forbidden in a lesser type of an Isra. Like in the case that they're discussing over there, where Issa Nevela is just a negative prohibition. Then comes along a more severe Issa, like Yom Kippur, which is a Chiyuv Karis. That's where they say Issa will be Chal Issa, and you'll be violating not only the Issa Nevela, but also getting punishment for eating on Yom Kippur. Aval Issa Kal, but a lesser Issa, for example, Amon L'Kohen Gadol, which is only a negative prohibition, Al Issa Chamer, on the more stringent Issa, that of one sister, which is Karis, Leichal, that doesn't take effect, and therefore rather we say that the sister, and that's the way they frame it, but the actual limud is because they hold that an Isser Kal cannot take effect in Isser Chamer, so therefore this sister who was not able to be taken as a Basula, obviously is not going to be included in the Isser of Leikach, because the Isser Mona, which is Kal, cannot take effect on an Isser Chamer that already has of Isser of a Chayser. So therefore, it could be either one. It could be Reb Shimon or the Rabbanan. That's one version, where originally that he said it must be like Reb Shimon, then it's because he holds Ein Issa Chal Issa. And then they said, okay, give me like Rabbanan, where although Issa Chal Issa, but that's only Issa Chama Issa Kal, not Issa Kal Issa Chama. Egedam, those that say the version the other way, that Reb Sheshes told to him, Habmani, who is the Tana of the Braisa that you have to say that has to learn out that the Isra of Amana to Kohen Gadol will not take effect in Isra Chesai, must be its Rabbananhi. Why? Because the Amri Isra Chalal Isra, that they say in general, that an Isra could take effect on a previous Isra. So therefore, they had to come and teach us that v'chi amar rabban and isser chalal isser, that when did we say generally that isser could take effect in another isser? Hanamili isser chamar isser kal. That's only when it's more severe, the next one, on the more lesser one. So it's adding something more, yeah, so that could take effect. Whereby, like Yom Kippur on Nevela. Aval isser kal isser chamar loicha, but a lesser isser cannot take effect on something that already has a more stringent isser on it. That's who the Tana of the Brisa must be like. The Reb Shimon, because if you're going to entertain us like Reb Shimon, what do you need that for? Which is the opposite of the previous Gemara's discussion. Hashta isser chamar isser kal loichai. If Reb Shimon holds that even a more severe isser cannot take effect on something that's already forbidden, albeit a lesser isser, so isser kal isser chamar mibayi, would you entertain to say that a lesser isser can take effect on a more severe isser? Obviously, it can't be like Reb Shimon, because then what would the necessity of the halacha being said? It must be to the contrary, like the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, no, ma'u detema isser kuna shani. I would have thought to say that actually the Issa Kuna would be different. That is because since the Torah gave more mitzvahs for Kahanim than the rest of the Jewish people, and therefore although it's a lesser type of an Issa, it's only a negative prohibition, it would take effect in a more severe Issa, that of Karas of Sister. Kamash Malon, that is the Chiddush that even Reb Shimon would have to teach you in this context that Ein Issa Chalal Issa, because although Issa Chamad does not take effect in Issa Kal, but in this context where Issa Kuna is more severe than even, let's say, regular Issa Chamad, it would take effect. That's why even Reb Shimon could be had to tell you that the Isra of Achaisai, the Isra of Amon, Lekangol, would not apply to one sister. Here, everyone's going to agree, in Isra Chalal Isra. Now, Amnir HaPabal HaBayah. Continue on this halacha, we're talking about of Sulikuna, of Chalala. It says, Yisrael HaBo Al Achaisai. Regarding a Yisrael, a regular Jewish person, not a Kayin, not a Levi, who has be with his sister. So, Zoyna Mashvila. It's obvious to me that he's going to make his sister into a Zayna, because she had be with someone that's Pasaltar, which is either a relative, like here the brother, or like a Mamzer. So therefore now it's obvious that she's forbidden to a Kohen, because she's a Zayna, and the Kohen's forbidden to marry a Zayna. But Rav Papa said, what he wants to ask from Abai is, Chalala Mashvila? But now, does he also turn his sister not only to a Zayna, but also into a Chalala? Which then, if the Kohen would have marriage with her, he'd also get lashes because of a Chalala? Or does he not make her into Chalala? He only made her into a Zayna. And the question is as follows. Do we say that it's a Kavochemer? We know that what makes a woman into Chalala is even from something that's just a negative prohibition. Just a negative prohibition turns her into Chalala. So then when a brother has be with a sister, which is a Chiv of Karis, isn't it a Kalchikin that would make her into Chalala? Maybe no. In Chalala, el misakuna. Maybe the halach of Chalala, as we learn at the sources from Amon Lekan Gadol, it's not just that it's a negative prohibition, it's also specifically regarding a Kayan having a be a psula, that will make the child into Chalala. Maybe that's, or the woman into Chalala. Maybe there, but here, even though it's a Chiv of Karis, it will not make her into a Chalala. So Malaya said, by answer, you're right. In Chalala, el misakuna bulvat. The halach of Chalala only applies to something that's a biyapsula with kahanim, but although it's something that as a brother and sister, which is definitely a stringent iser of chivakaras, it still will not make her into chalala. Now Amar Rav, he explains it. He says, "Menoha milsa da Amar Rabbanan." From where do they know this halacha that Rabban say that ein chalala elam iser kuhuna, that the chalala only comes from a product of an iser kuhuna? The time like learned the brisa. The brisa says, "Lo yomer gerusha b'kayin gadol." What is the halacha is that there are certain halachas that are uniform between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hedyot, where they're both forbidden in a grusha and in a zayna and a chalala. So the Brisa says, and it repeats it, but it says it both by Kohen Hedyot and by Kohen Gadol. So the Brisa says lo yama grusha b'Kohen Gadol. It shouldn't say the iser of a divorcee to a Kohen Gadol, because if it tastes a kavuchay b'Kohen Hedyot, you can know from a Kohen Hedyot. But no, I mean I would say. Hash l'kohen hedyot asura, if a divorce is forbidden to the lesser kaddish of the kohanim, which is the kohen hedyot, l'kohen gadol mibayah. Do you have to say regarding kohen gadol who already from being before he became a kohen gadol, he was a kohen hedyot, it was forbidden to him even then? Do I have to say that now in his kohen gadol that now he's going to be forbidden in the grusha? Of course. So lemanemer. So why does it say and repeat it by kohen gadol the isav grusha? To tell you kashem shechaluka grusha mizayne v'chalala, just like that the Isra of a divorcee is distinct from the Isra of Zaynam Chalala, which is said b'kain hedyot, by Kohen Hedger, where the Torah gives it its own separate law. It says in a separate pasuk, says Ve'isha Grusha Me'isha Lo Yikachu. It says that a woman who's divorced from her husband, Kanam and Allah to take, which that comes to teach you that if this woman is a Zayna and a Chalala and a Grusha, he's going to get lashes for her not only as a Zayna and Chalala, but even as a Grusha. It's coming to teach you Kachaluka B'Kohen Gadol. So too, although in by a Kohen Gadol it says it in one pasuk, where you would think that maybe you, even if they have all these different characteristics, you'll only violate one lav. That's why he repeats it by Grusha, by Kohen Gadol, to tell you that it's the same thing, not just that you're going to get one lav. You'll get just like a Kohen Hedyot, each one will give you a separate lav. Now, the Gemara still wonders on that answer. Pshit, it's pretty obvious. What, Migra Gara? What, because he became a Kohen Gadol, now his Kedusha went down? You become a Kohen Gadol, your Kedusha, your sanctity, your Isurim become greater. What do you mean? When he was a Kohen Hedyot, it already was separated, as you just explained, where it has its own pasuk that a Grusha, besides her being a Zayin HaChalal, will get a separate lashes for the Grusha. So how by Kohen Gadol would I say you need to repeat it to say that he also gets separate lashes? But of course, as a Kohen Hedyot, he already had that. So rather, the Gemara says different. Ela kashem shechaluka Grusha mizayin v'chalala b'Kohen Hedyot. Just like, yes, as we said, that it's distinct, the is of Grusha, from the Isra Zayna and Chalal that applied to Kohen Hedyot, the reason why it repeated Grusha by Kohen Gadol was to tell you, Kach Alman Chaluka Me Grusha V'Chalala Zayna V'Kohen Gadol. That the same thing is, if let's say this woman was a widow and a divorcee and a Chalala and a Zayna, which as we mentioned this in the Brayis Namad Aleph, he's going to be liable for each one an individual lav. In other words, so as Rashi explains, this is that the Tana was coming to explain only regarding getting a separate law for Almana, and he didn't have to say that he's going to get a separate law for Halala and from Zayna, is because the difference of that Halala getting a separate law than from Zayna, that we already know from a Kohen Hedyot. Because from the fact that it's mentioned Grusha separately, so the same thing applies to Halala and Zayna and so on. But regarding an Almana, which was a new law which wasn't applying by Kohen Hedyot, which was added on to a Kohen Gadol, they would don't find that that will create a separate Isser to its own to get a separate set of lashes. So that's why we have to say and repeat Grusha again by Kohen Gadol. Why are you repeating it? It's superfluous. You already know he has the Issur Grusha by Kohen Hedyot to tell you, just like Grusha by Kohen Hedyot has its own separate set of lashes, so too the Almana by Kohen Gadol, which is new by him, will also have its separate set of lashes. Okay, so that explains why there's a redundancy of the seemingly superfluosity of Grusha. But Chalalalan Lamanemra. But now the Brisa says, now, but why does it say Chalala, that is the Issa of a Kohen Gadol, if it's already an Issa he had as a Kohen Hedyot? So that's coming to tell you, Ein Chalala Ela Me'Issur Kuhuna. And this is the answer to the question that was posed, where Rava says, where do we know this halacha from? That Ein Chalala Ela Me'Issur Kuhuna, the redundancy of the Issa Chalala by Kohen Gadol is coming to tell you that a Chalala could only happen from an Issa Kuhuna. In other words, because the fact that this extra Issa of Chalala, which I already know by Kohen Gadol, that it's because as a Kohen Hedyot, when it repeats it over here, it's a specific order that it puts it in. Because first it says, Amana Grusha V'Chalala, in reference to the Isra by Kohen Gadol, where it's coming to tell you that only by an Isra that applies by Kehanim, which is the Isra of Amana and Grusha, it only applies to Kehanim, not to Israel. Now it doesn't say, Isha Amana Grusha Zayna, and then say, the Halach of Chalala. It doesn't say after Zayin to tell you, because actually the halacha of Isnus applies by non-Kanim too, which is, let's say, if she's Mizana Tachas Baila, she's Asr as a Eshes Ish. So that's coming to tell you that the Isra of Chalala is only from a Biyah Psula of Kuhuna itself, and not from a Biyah that's Asr that applies to Yisraelim also. So that's the source, again, that Rav is bringing this in for this halacha of this price, so that you see that the Chalala only applies to Isurei Biyah of Kuhuna. Now, the Brisa continues and says, okay, Zayna Lama Namra. So why is it repeat the Allah of Zayna forbidding a Kohen Gadol with a Zayna if he already had that Isser as a Kohen Hedyot? So that's also superfluous to teach you a different Allah. Nemar Khan, Zayna, it says over here by Kohen Gadol the Isser of a Zayna. V'nemar Lahalan, Zayna, it says over there by Kohen Hedyot the Isser for him to marry a Zayna. So we learn, Ma Khan, just like over here by Kohen Gadol, Zare Chulin, his children that he has a Biyah Psula with, which is the Allah we learn from Amon Kohen Gadol, his children become desecrated, they become halalim, as the pasuk says, lo yichal. Avlahal and zarechulim, we learn that a Kohen Hedyot also with his biyabsula, the child is going to be a halala. Now, Amar Vashi, he says, Hilkach, therefore, since as we just explained, where Rava brought the proof in this brisa, that a halala is only from an Issa Kuhuna, So you come up with the following interesting halacha. Kohen, whether he be a Kohen Hedjut or Kohen Gadol, haba alachaisai, that has bia with his sister, who's a single girl. So we continue on top of Ayin Chasam and Aleph, Zayna Mashvila. He turns her into a Zayna, which is, that is, if let's say Kohen would go ahead now and marry her, he would get lashes because she's a Zayna, because she had bia with someone that's considered bia's nus for her, which is someone that's forbidden to her, which is her relative, which is her brother. Now, Chalala loy Mashvila, however, but with that bia, the brother did not turn his sister into Chalala. So in other words, if a second Kohen then yet goes and has bia with her, he's not going to get lashes for being a Chalala. Now, but if Chazru Bala, but then if, let's say, after that first bia he did with his sister, he or another Kohen has bia with her, then Asa Chalala. Then he turns her into Chalala because she was already forbidden to any Kohen because as a Zayna, because of the first time she had bia with her brother. Which, that's an Isser. Who's not allowed to have bia with a Zayna? Only a Kohen. So that's an Isser that's miyuchat for Kohuna. Now that could turn her into Chalala. Because as we said, the halacha of Chalala, of a woman having a bia psula, is only a bia that's unique and miyuchat for Kahanim. And therefore, now that she's a Zayna, now the second bia that she has with a Kohen, again with her brother or any other Kohen, would now only now turn her into Chalala. But the first bia only made her into a Zayna.